From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. Alaska's sablefish longliners have a problem. Three very strong year classes of the valuable deepwater whitefish in 2014, 2016, and 2017. This sounds like a problem most fisheries would like to have, and indeed managers and fishermen are crossing their fingers that these small sablefish will settle down into ocean canyons and grow up to be big black cod waiting to be sustainably caught by clever longliners. But the youngsters have been troublesome. They've been tearing around Alaska's oceans in big gangs, clogging up the nets of unsuspecting Bering Sea pollock fishermen. And they're being caught in droves by longliners, many pounds too soon, the size of Cornish game hens rather than the preferred Thanksgiving turkey size. And the price of the under 3-pound minnows fell down the stairs and into the basement at the same time hooks and pots were filling up with them. Regulation requires that they retain every fish, no matter how tiny, and fishermen found themselves forced to deliver fish the size of bratwursts, but far less valuable. The fishermen's hope for the future was making their present day miserable. Like halibut, sablefish are without air bladders and well survived the trip from the bottom. Could the solution be as obvious as catch and release? Next week, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council will consider an action that would allow fishermen to release small sablefish back into the ocean.
And this would be a change for the sablefish IFQ fishery, which isn't allowed to discard. It would now have a new category that would need to be tracked. And essentially, there isn't a mechanism in place for that fishery right now.
That's Jim Armstrong, a member of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council's hardworking staff. One of the reasons they have to keep track of how many small sablefish are released is because of the directed mortality rate, or how many of them they calculate won't survive. That number needs to be tallied and counted as part of the directed catch for the year. But, of course, it's not that simple.
With IFQ, you've got an account. And you've got some pounds of fish, and those pounds, through the IFQ accounting process, are taken out of your account as you land fish. And once you've landed all your IFQ, you don't have anything left. We don't have a mechanism under consideration right now where those discards would be counted against that IFQ. Instead, the way the council motion was phrased, that those discards would come out of ABC. They would just be accounted for in the stock assessment. And if they had a negative effect, if they lower ABC, then it would just lower everybody's available harvest by some amount. And that would be really complicated if it were put in place, because the way that discards are estimated, you have some of the fleet, partial coverage, right? So you have some of the fleet that gets observed, some of the fleet that doesn't, and you put observers out there in a way so that you can look at the rate of discards to landings and then kind of expand that out to the unobserved fleet. What we ran into when we were looking at this in the analysis early on was that this makes you out of control of what's getting charged against your IFQ account, because other people's discarding could affect your IFQ. So we want to really make sure that we have as accurate an estimate of those discards as possible so that the change to ABC is appropriate.
And that change is determined by their estimate of the directed mortality rate. But how do they estimate that? And what do they think that number might be?
Right. So there are a number of studies out there. I think the one that is used the most, and it was basically sablefish that were caught on a survey, were tagged, and then all the information about their condition when they were released was recorded, and so it was a good study that looked at different types of hooking mortality. This was a hook and line survey, and so it basically established about a 12% mortality rate for the fish that were caught by hook and line and then discarded. And there were other rates as low as 5%, and there were rates upwards of 30%.
But is there kind of a ticking a timer on this action before it's kind of a moot point?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, when this first came up, the 2014 year class was just showing up in the catches, and nobody had ever seen that, because the last time anything close to that size of that 2014 year class had been seen was in the 1970s, the late 1970s. So that was a real eye-catching thing for, you know, all of a sudden all these little fish are showing up. And we thought the same thing. We thought, well, maybe this will just sort of go away. And you know, the council was mulling it over. We understand that federal, you know, fisheries management takes some time, and so it would be a while before something got put into place, and possibly before the council took action. And I think some people were actually thinking about it like that, like maybe this isn't something we need to do anything about. But then came the 2016 and 2017 year classes. You know, are we in a new high sablefish productivity regime? I'm not sure anybody's ready to say that. I think that the way people are thinking about this is, we, you know, that maybe wanting to have something in place that's more of a long-term solution rather than just a fixing the immediate problem.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvests for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Linda Benkin is director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. She sees value in allowing fishermen the flexibility to voluntarily release small sablefish, and she hopes the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council will keep the ball rolling.
Well, I hope the council will follow the SSC recommendation to task the analyst with taking another look at this. So there's a lot of concerns raised in the analysis about the impact of this action on the sablefish stock, on the catch accounting system. And I think those really need to be put into context of just how many fish we're talking about relative to the sablefish biomass. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of less than 25% of 1% of the of the sablefish biomass that we're talking about being released. And those fish are have a high release survival based on the 55,000 tags that have been recovered from sablefish caught on hooks and released. So that needs to be looked at, needs to be put into context. But I think also it's as the AP added a performance review, the managers will find that not every fisherman will release fish under 3 pounds. Not every fisherman will release them all the time, even of those who do choose to release. We want people to be able to make the decision to keep a dead sablefish, to release a sablefish in good condition. There'll be times when a fisherman is trying to fill a quota and operational constraints dictate you're going to keep all you catch. And there'll be other times when people have the flexibility to be releasing those small fish carefully. So they'll still get some data. I think they'll find it's not the big issue that we're hearing that it might be. And it'll provide important flexibility to take care of these juvenile fish where we have this phenomenal year class coming into the stock.
Eric Velsko is a sablefish fisherman who serves on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council's advisory panel.
I don't know. It's been kind of a tough one for me. I've gone back and forth on it. I didn't support it originally, and then I did, and then I didn't. And I thought, oh, well, maybe just for pots and not long line. And I think it makes it hard also for us to go in and complain about the trawl bycatch in the Bering Sea, but then, you know, ask for an allowance in our fishery to be able to also discard. You know, we have two boats that fish black cod pots. I mean, if anything, I should be the one advocating for it, but I just think we got to step past that sort of thinking, and everyone's got to get on the same page. You know, we're not doing a good enough job of actually managing them. You know, when you're over your quota or you're over your bycatch limit, you're done. You know, that needs to be like set in stone.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Well, that's the report. Thanks very much to James Armstrong, Linda Benkin, and Eric Velsko for daring to speak to me. Good fishing, everybody.